in Ezekiel chapter 3 and starting with verse 17, or actually 16, years ago, before I ever heard of watchmen in a church, it's just God told me this. He said that I was a watchman, but the kind of watchman I am is not necessarily the kind I guess everybody else is or whatever, but it was like a watchman to God's people, a watchman to the lost, but that I was a watchman to this world is really how I look at it. And if you look in verse 3 and 4, in verse 4 he says, "And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them." Back in verse 3, and he said, basically, "That I give thee, give to them." You know? And we're in chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. And in verse 8 and 9, because so often I have asked him, why am I like I am? And he said, somebody else brought it to light when they were talking here. In verses 8 and 9, it says, "Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house." And I've asked him, why did you make me like I am? And he said, because this is what America needs, because they're rebellious, they're hard-hearted, and they want to do ABC, anything but Christ, and yet call it Christ, wave a banner of Jesus over it, call it Christ, but they're compromising Christ on every hand. And God's like, "I'm getting the word inside of you, and then I want you to bring that to them and keep it in their face, and I'm going to make you have a hard forehead and be a knucklehead toward them." And it's like, you can't be soft, you know, because you have to do this to keep this message, to be a watchman to them, because they're running against God. And that's what I've seen in Christianity ever since I've been in it. People doing that. And then if we go back to chapter 1, there's a whole lot, but in chapter 1, in order to do that, in verse 1, he says, "I was among the captives." All right, number one, how are we going to reach people if we're talking down to them? We have to talk to them from, because we're where they're at. There go I, but by the grace of God. And this man of God, we have this TV preaching and stuff that, you know, all this good stuff and all this glory and the King's Kid and make you prosperous and bless me club Christianity stuff. But in verse 1, "I was among the captives." We find this man of God that God worked to write to us one of the books of Holy Scripture. And because we walk with God doesn't mean we escape captivity or the hard times. We have to be able to relate to those that we are dealing with, and we have to go where they are. And we are like them. We're no better than they are. We're not talking down to them. We're in the same place they are, but pointing them to Jesus. It's not that we are the example. Christ is the example. And we have to point them to Him. And then I noticed, Chatawa, while he was a captive, he had an open heaven. And he saw visions of God. And then if you'll notice, verse 3, in that word where it says, "The word of the Lord, Jesus Christ," God in print, "the word of the Lord came expressly." And in my Bible, what that shows is that word where it says "came expressly," actually that word is in there two times, emphasizing that God came to exist. The manifest presence of Christ was there with him. You see, we're supposed to be where God wants us to be, even if it's in captivity. That's why when people have said to me, "What if you go over there and you get killed by this guy that's killing people in Uganda, or you get these things in India?" All I know is I'm supposed to go there. I don't know what that means, But we go and we do what God says, because if we're where God wants us to be, you know, He says, what is it in John 14, 1? He says, I came so that you could be where I am. Okay? And He's calling us to where He is. We have to go to where He is. That's His presence. We can't try to get Him to come to where we are. We have to go to where He is. And that may be in captivity. Because God, in His great love and mercy and compassion and kindness, is reaching out to them. And who's going to reach out to them? Somebody in a suit? Somebody on TV with all the rings? Who's going to reach out to them? It's like we have to go to where they are with the heart of God, in His presence, taking the presence of God to them where they are. Not becoming where they are. Not, you know, being affected by them, but there to bring them out, to love them to Jesus. Okay? And so the Word of God, Jesus Christ, came to exist there. The manifest presence of Christ. And then notice in verse 3, and it says, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. The divine impulse moving with the power of God. Also I see Jesus, the Father, putting His hand on Ezekiel's shoulder. Like, this is my son, I'm here with you. I'm pleased with you. Okay? He is Jehovah, the sovereign Lord and eternal God, plainly telling, giving counsels, warnings, commands, and threats through Ezekiel. And then I notice in verses 4 through 28 that God brings about a lot of detail. And I think when God has given us visions, He wants us to notice all these details. Notice, just if you make it real simple, the vision of the whirlwind, it was out of the north. I take that as something because it wasn't out of the south. It was out of the north. Okay? It was a great cloud. It was a fire enfolding itself. It was a brightness about it. All of these things have meanings. And God drew our attention to them. Why didn't He have other visions written down in this detail? He had these written down, and they were so many details, and they mean something. We don't know what all they mean, but we need to ask God what they mean. And we need to ask God when we're getting visions, what do these things mean? Something I've learned as I've listened to Sue talking to other people about, ask God questions. Why, you know, what, how, why do you want this, or what are you doing, or when do you want us to do something, or look around and see if there's a clock in your vision, or a calendar, or what colors there are. All these things are details. Instead of getting caught up, like Dave said, getting caught up in the experience, realize God is here doing this in my life right now. Is this so I have a warm, fuzzy feeling? No. It's God is doing something for a reason. There is something God's trying to get my attention. There are details here. And then out of the midst, there was a color of amber, the likeness of four living creatures. They had the appearance, the likeness of a man. Everyone had four faces and four wings. Their feet were straight, like calves' feet. Their hands of a man under the wings. And it goes on, all these details. And I just started writing out all these details, just trying to put it in just simple language. And it's like, it is amazing, all these details that God is showing him in these different visions. Why is God showing that? What is that about? And God is, that's part of when God's doing that with us. There's, when God's taking every one of us into visions, but did we just get caught up in the experience, or what was He trying to tell us? What was the point of this? And if we write these things down, as Ezekiel did, the Holy Spirit's going to, the Holy Reminder, He'll remind us. And as we write them down, He brings them back to our memory. God, why? What are the straight feet about? What is this about? What is that about? Help me to understand. Why did you show this to me? He wasn't just you know, putting on a show. He was telling them for a reason. And it's for us also. That's the homework. Can I say one other thing? If it's okay. Yeah. I heard Patty say something that... I heard Patty say a lot of stuff that was good. But I heard Patty say one thing that jumped in me, and I couldn't hardly hear anything after she said that. And I felt like I was supposed to say this to you. As a watchman, okay? This helped me just hearing y'all, but this helped me by reading this because I am like I am, I often, and because I'm do the things I do or am the way I am, I go, Lord, you know, I don't understand, and I try to temper it, and I try to not do these things that I feel like God wants me to do because of reactions I see in other people or words that come back to me or whatever, looks. Like all no number of y'all said, the looks on their faces or don't be afraid and whatever. But it's helped me by reading all this to realize this is how God made me. And God's told me that many, many, many times. Harvey, they don't all appreciate it now, but when all the stuff starts happening and you are going to stand when others are not, they're going to be glad, and you're going to stand for truth. And it's like God wants that truth to get out there, but He wants His truth spoken in love. But the thing that Patty said, I need to come back to that, and I really would ask, I know this is God and something for you. How does God want us to be? I feel like you need to write down and you need to ask God, how does God want us to be in unity? What does that mean for us to be in unity? See, we keep hearing that, and we all have our own ideas, but how can we all be in unity if all of us are doing different things? In other words, what if we're all not feeding from the same stream, okay? If we're not all focused on the same goal that God has, if we're wondering what other people's visions are, reading all their books, trying to watch TV, trying to follow all this, what's going on with Bill Johnson's ministry and trying to follow that, it's like, is that what God's doing here? And then when messages are given and things are taught, are we taking those things? Like I remember one time when Glenn and Roxanne, I called them on a Monday, I think it was, or a Tuesday, whatever. I called them one day and Glenn said, I said, what are you doing? He said, Roxanne and I have been sitting here for like hours. We took your notes in the verses that you preached yesterday, and we have just been reading them and meditating on them and praying them. And he said, what he said at that point was, all I could say is, wow, you know. And it's like, I can't believe how much I'm getting out of it by doing that. Now, I'm not saying you can't read other books or do anything else. I'm not. What I'm trying to say is, what about the stuff that's going on here? Where is that? If we are the leaders and God has us bring stuff and do stuff, why? If we're not the leaders, then go follow somebody else. You know what I'm saying? But if we are, then what are you doing with what is being? Because how are we all going to be in unity? You know what I mean? What does it mean for us to be in unity? And that just jumped when she said that. And I just felt like, and I don't know the right way to say it. Please forgive me. I wish I could give it to some soft-speaking, nice person like Janaya could say it all sweet and Sue, you know. But I'm just saying, what does it mean for us to be in unity? For us as a group here, as leaders of this ministry, to be in unity. What does it mean? Are we feeding on the same thing? Do we have the same focus? Do we have the same goal? What about what God is saying here? Are we going and doing something with that? Or we heard that and now we go home and we pick it apart and we say what we think and whatever and we let it drop by the wayside? What are we doing with it? You know what I'm saying? The visions. Sue has this whole couple of notebooks or whatever she wanted to just go over the other day, and I was too full of matter to hear it. And she said, Harvey, I just want to give you the overview for the last year. And she said, I haven't given it to you yet. And I'm like, I can't. And she started, and I was trying to hear it, but she could see. I just had too much on my plate at that moment when she was trying to do it. But what I'm saying is, there are so many words God has given the prophet of the house of this ministry, that what are we doing with that? Are we praying those? Are we going to see those come to pass? Have we let them fall? Oh, that was a nice word. Now, pass the ketchup. You know? You follow what I'm saying? It's like we need to be saying, okay, God, if this is where I'm at, and if we're going to go forward, because God has a whole lot more, a whole lot more than what I see going on. I like, okay, yesterday was great, but folks, this world's going to hell. This whole city is going to hell. And I care. I want us to reach it. But it's not just me. It's all of us together. And it's like every one of us has a piece of the pie. Every one of us has giftings and insights and wisdom and talents and gifts and anointings and insight. Every one of us. But it's like, what is God doing here? And are we in unity on that?
I'm just going to share a couple of things that really stood out to me with Ezekiel. God started, you know, he called him a priest and he called him son of man. And then as time went on, he called him a prophet. And then after some more training and time, he called him a watchman. So even though you may be called to be a prophet or a watchman or even a minister, there's the training, there's the time. It's who appoints God time to stand before him. It's not something that is just, oh, I have the gift of prophecy and just every now and then prophecy just drops in me, you know, and that's it. It takes time to develop certain types of prophecy. They take time to develop the man and the message. And God spent a lot of time developing this man. And he spent a lot of time preparing the message. He didn't just say, okay, Ezekiel, one morning, here's the word, run out and give it to him. You know, he gave him a part of the word, and then he gave him more details of the word. But he had to own the word. He had to carry that word. And he had to carry a love so deep for the people that he would take that word to. Because he was pre-warned that they were rebellious. They were hard-hearted. You know, God was going to show his prophets things about people in their hidden sin life. And even inside the church, you know, you'll see where God shows him inside the sin, inside of ministers in the church, even in the other priests. And you couldn't judge them for it. You couldn't judge the people for what you were seeing. So that takes a lot of preparation in us, whether we just want to be in the prayer ministry team. Because when you go up to pray for someone, in order to know how to truly pray what God is doing in their life, sometimes God has to reveal things about them to you. And they may be things you have an issue with. What if you go to pray for a child molester and God lets you know this person has molested children? And if you've got an issue with that, all of a sudden you're drawing back going, well, they can just go to hell. You know, that's the wickedest sin in the world. You know, I can't pray for them. And you can't even just say, well, I choose to forgive them. When you're praying for them, you have to allow the full presence and love of God to flow to them. You can't have something blocking it. So whatever message he's giving you to take, he has to prepare you for those people and for that message. And that means there's a lot of dedicated, separated time with God. I noticed that Ezekiel, he had that great experience with God, and that was all wonderful, and we like that, you know, we want that. But then he also said, now, go sit by the river 7 days. How many times have we actually taken a full 7 days to just sit alone with God? That's a lot. And then God says, now get up and go out to the wilderness. I thought I would get to go with my message now and preach. No, now you go out in the wilderness. Okay, you know, we get that behind us, and then he says, now go shut yourself up in your house. There was a lot of preparation time. So the very first meeting we had here in training was laying down our life. If you want to be a minister, you have to lay down your time, lay down your attitudes, lay down your rights, lay down your life. We can't be out judging other people. We can't be too busy for God. It takes time. Separated time. You know, God asks, who will appoint me the time? Who will stand before me? We have nothing to take if we don't go in and get something from God. I like that you mentioned unity, and Saturday night was like one of the most amazing worship nights here. I absolutely loved it because they came into unity. They spent about an hour before they ever began to sing in prayer, in talking, in sharing, and coming into the presence of God, coming into that unity. And Sunday morning was good. Saturday night was even better. Saturday night was awesome unity in worship. And spontaneous worship was just flowing. It was amazing. And the only way we can come into unity with each other is when we each come into unity with God, because He's in unity with Himself. So if we are coming into the presence of God with a purpose here, as a team here. Now, I might not be in unity with you on the way you homeschool Carson. I might be in a different philosophy of homeschooling. We don't need to be in unity on that, because we're not a team on that. But we are a team on what God is getting ready to do here at Burning Bush. We are a team on that. And on that, if each one of us will stand before the Lord and appoint Him the time, He's got the portion He will give each of us, and it will come together in a unity and release what God wants to do here. I haven't shared the overview from 2012, but when I read the overview month by month, week by week, over and over and over, the Lord has said, what you get to happen here will directly be a result of what you pray for in unity. You're going to get what you pray for as a team. We're not going to get very much of if that's our truth, because we haven't been doing a lot of praying together as a team. God said there is a tornado that is going to bust through those doors through prayer. We don't have a prayer time. So it's crucial that we find a time that we can come together just to wait before the Lord. We have to do this individually, but we have to do it as a team too. Corporately, do we really want God to choose Burning Bush and to do here the things He said He's going to do? We do have a lot of prophecies. We have a prophecy that God is going to bring the first 500 just to be trained as ministers. We have to pray that in, and we have to be ready to train them, you know. So there's a lot of things we need to get more serious about. And let me catch up on my notes. One reason we have to be so much individual time with God is this breaking of pride. The breaking of pride. You know, I keep telling the kids in Sunday school, okay, we've got to kick pride out again, because every time pride gets to talk, Jesus doesn't, you know. Every time pride acts out, God's out of it now. He doesn't get to act out, you know. So this message that God is bringing us cannot flow through pride. So we're all in this individual breaking of our pride, breaking of judging other people, breaking of selfishness. We're in such a breaking, and it's hurting. It's uncomfortable. We don't like it. But if we do not stick and get broken, then God can't flow through us. So we need to welcome the hard things. And I really like two things that almost everybody noticed. One was that we are going to bring this message to a rebellious people. We're going to bring our message to a rebellious people. America is rebellious. They're so rebellious. And that's who we have to love, not judge, but love them. Ezekiel came to a place of intercession, such deep, loving intercession. He didn't want God to destroy these people. He wanted them to repent. And our hearts have to get to that place for the people, because we are going to bring a hard warning, repentance message out of love to rescue people. But they're hard and they don't want to hear it. And the people we're dealing with that hurt us and rebel and come against us, we have to be able to forgive them or we become like them. That's why God said, do not become rebellious like them. Sin is so contagious. Somebody hurts us, we want to hurt them back. And we have to be prepared that we can take the rejections, take the persecution, and not hurt them back. So there's a lot of preparation in us in this individual time and then in our group time. So that's something I want to put out. How are we going to come into this time of prayer together? And are you finding the time to to stand before the Lord alone and let Him prepare you. Whether you want to just pray over other people or whether you want to be positioned in ministry or wherever you're at, I believe that some people, honestly, I believe God has told me, many are called, but few are chosen, because I think a lot of people are going to leave. As the training gets more difficult, a lot of people are going to leave. There may only be half of us sitting here in another month or two. I hope there's double this many here in another month or two. That would be great. But we're either going to go up a level or we're going to go back several. Because there's not usually stepping back one space with God. It's you're either moving forward with God or you're falling way back.
I'm backsliding.
Right. So we just really need to put that in prayer. And I don't want to give this to you as homework. And I'm not going to bring it because you guys have brought the message tonight and it's fantastic. But I want to give you a challenge of what I am going to bring to you because it's just really been a blessing to me and I want you to look at it. We're going to go over several things about Watchmen next time. But the heart of the message is prepare the table. This is out of Isaiah. I think it's 21:5. I went through several books, and when I do that, sometimes I get the addresses wrong, but I think it's Isaiah 21:5. It says, prepare the table, watch in the watchtower, eat, drink, arise, ye princes, and anoint the shield. I challenge you to go and find out what that verse means.
Isaiah 21:5.
Yeah, 21:5, I got it right. Yay. But God has really opened that verse up to me, and it's just amazing because this is what He wants us to do. Prepare the table. Because we can't arise until we do this. So I challenge you to look into that. I want us next week, I hope that we're going to also find some time to actually pray for each other. And example some of the rules of praying for people here, you know, how to catch, how we do and don't touch people. You know, we have some general rules like we try to have men pray over men. Sometimes God does have you cross that where a woman will pray over a man, but we prefer that you have a man partner there if you do that, you know. But pretty much we try to keep women to women and men to men, very careful in touching and catching. I don't do catching because I would just fall down. But those of you who do catching can show how that's done. But most of all, that we listen to the Spirit. You know, this is an example I use a lot, but like we had a lady come forward and she had her grandson for the summer and it was time for him to go back to the other state to his mom. And she wanted me, the mom was living with a very ungodly man. And it was like, the grandma was really concerned, and she said, would you please pray with me that the mother would allow the son to continue staying here with me where he's safe and where he could learn about God? So I stopped and I asked the Lord, and then I told the woman, and I tell people this frequently, I would love to pray for you, but I cannot pray what you ask me to pray. I need to pray what God's telling me to pray. And if you're willing to accept that, then I'll pray for you. She said, okay. And I said, I believe your grandson needs to go home. I believe he needs to be a witness. He's ready. He needs to live in the home with his mother. And you need to put his protection in the hands of God and he'll be fine. And she accepted that. And she came back and let me know that by the time the boy got home, the mom and the boyfriend broke up and the man was gone. But she accepted what God said rather than what she wanted to hear. You know. And there was a time we were doing healing in the house, and God said, tell everybody just come. I'm going to heal everybody of whatever they ask for when they come tonight. So we were doing that. One lady came up, and as I put my hands on her head, she had bumps. I mean, big bumps, like golf ball-sized bumps all over her head. And I put my hands on her head, and God said, do not pray for her, or she's just going to get worse, because she won't repent that she's living in adultery. Well, I said to the woman,
real quiet,
very quietly, you know, I don't think I should pray for you right now. Let me talk to you, you know, in a few minutes. I don't think it's the right time to pray for you. She jumped out of her chair and said, you won't pray for me because I'm in adultery. And I said, okay. And that was the truth, just what God had told me. But had I been afraid to say, I can't pray for you, and prayed for her, maybe those lumps would have shrunk and then she'd have gone home and gotten way worse, you know. Right. And I've seen that happen, where we've prayed somebody's healing who didn't repent of something and they got worse. So you really need to tell people, I love to pray for you, but I am going to pray according to what the Spirit gives me, not according to what people want me to say. You know, you have to be very careful about that. And that's the one reason, that's one of the main reasons we don't just let everybody pray for people here. Because most people are not careful, to be sure. And sometimes you go to pray for someone, total blank. And you're going, God, what do you want to say? Blank. God, they need prayer. They're asking for prayer. Blank. You can't cover for God. You have to tell them, I'm sorry, I'm not hearing anything. So I can't pray. So we really want to release the Spirit, not our opinions, not our emotions. And we need to be very careful. And in prayer training is a good time where we get to practice that. And we get to use each other for guinea pigs and be brave enough to say, I'll let you tell me whatever God's saying to me, and I'm willing to let God tell you anything about me. So that's making us be open to receive prayer too, you know. There's also the other side on prayer. I do not let many people pray for me. I very seldom get prayer. The Bible says lay hands suddenly on no man. Well, I don't like any man to lay hands suddenly on me either. So I've just recognized too much carelessness in people praying. So I'm not quick. And if I don't know a person, God would have to speak to me and say, I want them to pray for you. Because I am not quick to let somebody pray for me if I don't know their walk with the Lord. And every single time anybody prays for me, well, almost every single time. I guess there's some people I trust more than I should, like my husband. I don't say it every time. But I put up a bubble, and I tell the Lord, please surround me in a bubble. Whatever's of you, I want to fully receive it. Whatever's not you, please block it and don't let it come in me. So that's a real good idea if somebody goes to pray for you, lay hands suddenly on you, put up your shield. God, if this is not you, do not let it touch my spirit.
Do not mean put up a wall.
Right. So I want to be very open to what God has to say. But in prayer training, in prophetic training, it's like when you get a new tool, you know, you guys, and you don't really have anything to do, but you go out to the garage and cut up all the wood and do all, you know, I want to see how the thing works, you know, you just want to play with it. The sewing machines too, you know, you have to sew every stitch, every pattern on a piece of scrap. I don't even know what to put in Janiah's hand. She doesn't do any of it, you know. She just has babies. She just has babies, you know, and feeds them. So you can't experiment with the new baby and just see how it works, you know. It's real. But we play with our tools and learn how they work. And then we put them away. And you don't go out there after you know how it works and just keep cutting up all your wood for fun. You know, after a while you say, okay, now I got it. I see how it works. And I get it out for real when I want to build something. It's kind of like that with God. When he's teaching us about prophecy and when he's teaching us about prayer in our training environment, sometimes he lets us experiment with each other and make our mistakes and learn how the gifts work. And then we grow up and we put them away and we use them skillfully. We don't play with them anymore. And when we first came into prophecy, because we were Baptists to the bone, and we did not believe in prophecy and speaking in tongues. And we came into a church where we started learning about it. And crazy things were going on at this prophetic time that hit the church. And, you know, I was offended. I was so offended, you know, especially at him. Because here's guys standing across the room, and Harvey and a couple of buddies, they're going, watch this, you know, and they're like taking a bowling ball and throwing it, and these people over there that aren't even knowing it are all falling down. And I'm going, that is so ungodly. It's just disrespectful of God. God isn't a toy. You can't play with him like that, you know? And, you know, God is serious. You can't play with his gifts like that. And God says to me, why is it work? I said, I don't know why it works. It shouldn't. You know, maybe it's the devil. Maybe it's the devil. I don't know. God finally talked me into opening up. And then he said, okay, the boys like to play stuff like that. You know, they're shooting each other. And everybody's falling down. He said, how about join the women over here? They're playing dress up. You know, that's what girls do. And I went, I felt like God's pushing me. So I went over with the girls, and they're playing dress up. And I mean, we're off in visions, and we are dressed up, and we're riding white horses with God. And it's all for no reason. Absolutely couldn't find a reason. And I grew up around parents that worked in a mental hospital. I don't like to get out of control of my senses, which is quite funny because I have visions all the time. And speak in tongues and have no clue what I'm doing, you know. But that, for me, began very uncomfortable. And I was like, I am a serious person, and I can hardly play a game because there's no real life benefit to it, you know. I don't know how to play. So, God, why are you doing these things? And he said, because my people lost their childlikeness. They don't know how to play. They don't know how to laugh. They don't know how to have fun. God is so funny. He has a great sense of humor. And he likes to have fun. But in our training, it's like we get to go back to that childlikeness and laugh. Last night, because I infected her too, I got caught up in a skit we did in a church one time, and I was being this hillbilly talking lady, you know, that was watching soap operas, and I'm going through the whole skit and remembering it, you know, and she said the same thing I said. Why did you do that? How did it honor God? What was the point? And I said, I don't think there was a point. I think we were just having fun, you know. But there is a point. In the ministry training, in the prayer training, in the prophetic training, there is a point. God gives you a new gift. And he lets you play with it a little bit to learn that it's real, to learn that it's powerful, to learn that it does work. And then he has you put it away for serious times as a tool. Now, I can't play with prophecy anymore. For me, it's happening on a serious level. And I don't have as much of the prophecy to just walk up to you and tell you your life history and the name of your dog, you know. I don't get a lot of that. I get more things that are coming to this ministry and what we need to do to get ready. I get more futuristic and walk into these plans of God. But I think that he might. We'll find out if he does or not. Let us just experiment with some of that as we're training new people in this class, and especially in prayer. You know that it's a safe place to learn and practice. So it's okay because it's a practice. It's learning how. So, for instance, you could walk up to Harvey and none of this is true, okay? I'm just playing. But I did this during other training classes, and I would say, for example, and I would touch somebody, and God would start telling me really things about them, you know? And I go, I should touch somebody else. I don't want to tell all your secrets here. But, I mean, you could walk up to somebody, and God could say to you, oh, this boy was molested when he was 3 years old. And you're going, well, that's not fun. That's not playing. That's not like bowling people down, you know? What if I'm wrong? What if he gets mad at me? What if he doesn't want anybody to know that? And God tells you something really deep like that. What do you do with it? You ask God that very question. What do you want me to do with that, God? What do you want me to do with it? Do you want me to say that to him? Hey, buddy, I know you're living in adultery and God doesn't like it, you know. I know you're a rapist, you know. Do you just outright say it? You have to ask God, what do you want me to do with that? Do you want me to just pray for him? And sometimes he will have you, if the person can't handle straight up words like that, he may have you say, you know, there's things that are buried deep in you that you think no one knows, but God knows. And God wants to deal with it. You know, are you willing to let God deal with it? You know what you're talking about, but he doesn't know you know what you're talking about. But he knows, because God's bringing it to his mind. The very thing you're referring to is coming to his mind. He doesn't have to know that you know the details sometimes. Now, there are some people that absolutely won't believe it's God unless you tell them outright what you know. And God will tell you that. I had a young girl that didn't know if she believed in God or not. And God had me call out her cat, the color of her cat, the name of her cat, what she said to her cat. And then she was like, God must be real. How would you know those things? So sometimes he does have you call things out. Graham Cook one time, he stood up in a big church in England, I think, and God kept saying, I want you to say, God hates mummies and daddies. And he thought, why would I say that? God, you don't hate moms and dads. You don't hate them. And he said, say it. And he said that, God hates mummies and daddies. And it turned out there was a woman in the audience, congregation, whose parents had both molested her as a child, and they called it a game called Mummies and Daddies. She came up crying and got deliverance and healing for that, because that hit right what she'd gone through. But he didn't want to say that. How could that be God? You know, but God kept pushing him to do it. So God can do amazing things through prophecy and through prayer when it is what God wants to say, the way he wants to say it, and done in love. You can tell the rapist he's a rapist when you're telling him God loves you. And there's a reason that's in your heart. And God can change it, you know. So truth spoken in love is powerful. And we don't want any little flatter your friends type of prayer here of just wanting to feel happy because you made them feel good. They need to hear truth. Sometimes a young lady will say, I'm a horrible wife and mother. And our human heart wants to say, no, you're not. And God goes, yeah, she is. Oh, you know, maybe you are. But you don't have to be. You know, God can give you a whole new life.
Maybe I can be a dad.
Okay. You do lack in mothering skills. Yes.
You would be our mother.
Okay, a couple things. One, when people come here, so many people say to us, I can't leave here because I'm loved. Have you heard people say that? I've heard a number of them say that. I couldn't leave here if I wanted to because I'm so loved. But being loved doesn't mean mushy and you let down rules or standards of God. You understand?
Right.
Okay? It doesn't mean we're all just mushy and jello and everything's okay and it's okay for people to live together or whatever. It's not okay. What God says is wrong is wrong. What God says is right is right. And it doesn't matter. The rest of it, it's not up for vote. We need to speak the truth in love, but there needs to be love. Now by the faith, hope, charity, the greatest of these is charity. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one another. We've got to love them to Jesus. But that doesn't mean compromise on God or his word.
Amen.
Okay? In any way, shape, or form. Coming back to this, I'm just going to say this and then I'm going to ask something. Okay, let's do it this way. I'll say it this way first. If you could, okay, do you want what God wants here?
Yes.
But do you even know what God wants here?
No.
Because I could tell you, you don't.
A little bit.
I could tell you, you don't. I could tell you that I don't even know the extent of what God wants here because God gives so much to her, and when she speaks it to me, reading like those books like every day, should tell me all this stuff that God gives her, because every day she's getting all this stuff, okay? But then when she goes back and overviews it, and I go, I remember that. And it's like, did we pray it? Are we praying it? Are we wanting it? Are we asking God for it? I'm sorry. I want more than we've got at Burning Bush. I want way, way more than what we've got at Burning Bush. I want prayer so bad, but it's got to be all of us wanting prayer. And it's not necessarily prayer in a way that maybe you've ever done. Maybe it's just prayer in the way you've done when it was you and God, and you got real and poured your heart out to God instead of doing whatever we do when
maybe
we come together.
Maybe it's a way we haven't even
right.
discovered yet.
But what I'm saying is, God moves through prayer. And if we want God to move, there's got to be prayer. And I'm just letting you know, there's a line being drawn in the sand by God, not by us. And I feel like God is like challenging us. If I'm going to do what I'm going to do here, number one, there's got to be prayer. Number two, there's got to be unity. So how am I in unity with what God's doing here? What am I in unity with? Okay? Each one of us needs to ask that. We need to have a time just where Sue takes and reads those things, maybe when we start having some prayer together. We have to make time. We are not going to find time. Maybe we're too busy with other stuff that's in the way. And I'm way busy. But we need to make time.
We made a Monday night. We were going to have prayer every Monday night. And a few of us came. It was boring. I didn't like it either. And we kept coming. It was boring. And like, I could be in the car, just awesome prayer. Walked in the door and it all quit. I don't know why. I have no idea why. So I am desperate for prayer to happen, and I don't know how.
And you know what? It's not that we need to take somebody else's formula or something.
No.
It's got to start by us coming. It's got to start with us wanting it. And then it's got to start with us making time to come together. And then when we come together, even if it's boring or whatever, it's like, we didn't come because it was going to be exciting. We came because we needed to pray. And prayer means we're depending on God. Prayer means we're looking to God for something that only He can do, we can't do, and we're coming trying to get in on that. You see, you know what I'm saying? It's us communing with Him. But you know what? We can't want that for you. And we can't just do it by ourselves. And when we say a lot of things that we say, and nobody ever says anything back to us, and then it's like we just, it goes on as if, okay, it's in the minutes of the last meeting 10 times ago, but nothing ever came of it. And it's like inside of us there's a grieving. It's like we're not mad at anybody. We're just like, God, how do we get there? And a long time ago, God told me, Harvey, you can't go where you've gone before without them. And I don't know how to do it. That's why I say sometimes I feel like a bad leader, because I don't know how to do it better. I don't know what else to do. So we just need to pray that God would even tell me what to do. You know what I mean? We need prayer. We need God. But we need to become desperate. Maybe we just
maybe
need
I'll
to lay
tell
our,
you what to
maybe
do.
We need to lay our hands on our belly and say, God, make me desperate.
Make me desperate.
Make me desperate for prayer. Make me desperate for you. Make me desperate where I will want you, even when it's not comfortable or when it's boring or whatever. But it's like I'm going to press in.
Teach us how to pray.
What do you think that means, to press in? Does it mean it's like easy? It means, okay, but we have to make time. We're not going to find time. It's not going to be convenient. But do we want God? Do we want souls? Do we want more Richards? You know what I'm saying? But not just Richards, but all of these people I keep seeing going through the parking lot. And this is only just a fraction.
Hey, I was thinking we should set up our prayer booths outside again, too. Right out by the road, need prayer, you know. Maybe we should do that again.
One thing I think you would get, I think you would get excited if she brought her, what do you call that thing? Were you overview? And you just heard things that God is saying He wants to do here through us. It is phenomenal.
Maybe I'll print it up.
No, I don't want you to do that, because then it just gets, nothing ever happens with that.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
People can go home and pray over it.
Okay, maybe. What if we came here and you read it and we pray it? You know, and then if people want it, let them ask for it instead of just spending all that time doing that. There you go.
That's a good
there you
idea.
Go. We're going to get more out of it that way than just printing it. Because even when it's printed up, it's like, okay, it's a bunch of words. You're not,
I read it and I put it aside.
Right, right. And that's what I'm saying. I don't want to put God aside. I don't want to put prayer aside. I don't want to put you aside. I don't want to put others aside. I don't want to be put aside. I don't want burning bush to be put aside. I know y'all want what I'm talking about. I know you do. I know you do. So God, how do we get there? So God, how do we get there? God, how do we as a church get there, please?